Today we're going to talk about the one true God, all right? And I want you to read on the screen with me the verse that comes up there this morning. Read it with me. And this is eternal life. What is eternal life? Say it with me now. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts this morning through your word. Help us to be the people of God you've called us to be, and we pray in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word on which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thanks again for coming out this morning. The one big idea this morning is that we serve a one true God, all right? And the Holy Spirit just led me to speak on this morning. I wasn't even going to hand you out notes, but then I thought I'd like you to at least have the scripture references that I'm using today and then to write down anything that kind of pops into your spirit. And so I don't have fill in the blanks today, but I do have the references that I'm using today so that you can be able to take it home with you, all right? Today we're going to talk about the one true God we serve. The Bible says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. How many are glad this morning that you know Jesus Christ and you know the one true God? Can I get a witness? Amen. We live in a world where there are few moral absolutes left anymore. In other words, whatever works for you is the order of the day. Everyone does what's right in their own sight, that kind of a thing. That's the world that we live in. In fact, this is referred to as religious pluralism. In other words, all kinds of diversity and all kinds of religions, they'll all get you where you want to go. Or moral relativism, where, in other words, our culture dictates what's right or wrong, moral or immoral, without any absolutes. In other words, our culture is what dictates morality, not the other way around. Morality doesn't speak to culture. Culture speaks to morality, and then we shape our world the way that we want it to be instead of the way God's word says it should be. How many know that we're not called to follow culture, we're called to follow Christ? Can I get a witness here this morning? Let me give you a second chance at that. How many know we're not called to follow culture, we're called to follow Christ? Amen, to be disciples of Christ. I mean, there's the church I know. Now, society says that there are many ways and many truths that lead to God, but Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want you to notice here this morning, Jesus never claimed to be a good way or a good life or just one of many truths. He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Can I get a witness? Amen. When Peter was standing before the Sanhedrin, which was a ruling body of religious leaders at that time, just after Acts chapter 2, this was in Acts chapter 4, he said this when he stood before that body of religious rulers. He said, salvation isn't found in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ, the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. If you're going to believe in somebody that died on the cross for you and rose again 3 days later. If I'm going to believe in anybody, I'm going to believe in somebody who can get out of the box. Can I get a witness? Amen. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Jerusalem and went to the tomb by the Garden Tomb. And all of us that were there, 46 of us, we walked into that tomb. But I'm glad to tell you here this morning that the stone was rolled away and that tomb is empty and it still is today. Can I get a witness? Amen. We serve a risen Savior. And he's the only way that you can be saved through Jesus Christ and faith in him alone. In fact, Paul, the apostle, said of Jesus, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. In other words, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son. The two are one. The three are one with the Holy Spirit, if you will. But he's the visible image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. Now, the scriptures never dispute that there are other gods with a small g. There are other gods, false gods they are. But they encourage us to serve the one true God. How many are glad this morning that you serve the one true God? Amen? Now, the Lord himself said this. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many are glad that God has brought you out of slavery? Amen. Out of bondage to sin, out of the land of slavery. And he's given you a brand new life. And that's why God says this, don't have any other gods before me. And I'm talking about any other god is going to be a counterfeit god. We want to serve the one true God. I'm kind of going just through characters in the Bible this morning, some characters, obviously not all of them at all, but just a few that really speak to the one trueness of God. Joshua was one of the great leaders of the Old Testament. Say with me this morning, Joshua. He was one of the 12 spies, if you'll remember, that went into the Canaan land with he and Caleb and 10 others. But they came back, Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. That was Joshua in Numbers. They staked out the land, and he came back with a good report. Joshua was chosen by God to succeed Moses when Moses was finished with his leadership, handed the torch off to, or the mantle, I should say, off to Joshua. And then Joshua crossed the Jordan River, the water heaped up in the Jordan River, just as it had for Moses when the Red Sea was parted. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and what happened? And the walls, what? Came a tumbling down, right? Remember that song? Remember that story? That was the first fortified city that they came across in the Promised Land, and God caused them to conquer that city. That was Joshua leading that battle. And then Joshua at one point even asked God to let the sun and the moon stand still for a day so that he could have more daylight to fight a battle at Gibeon. How many know that that's a big prayer? God, we're fighting a battle. We need more daylight. Could you just stop the sun and the moon? And God answered him and stopped it. In fact, the Bible says there's not been a day like it before or since when God heeded the voice of a man and fought the battle for Israel. But that's a big God that we serve. How many know that Joshua lived quite a life, right? When he gets to the end of his life, he's now 110 years old. He stands before the children of Israel giving his parting thoughts, and he says this. Watch this now. We're talking about different gods. He says this. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. How many that we serve a big God who says, you don't have to serve me, but you're going to serve somebody. So you can make the choice. How many glad that God's given you your own volition, your own will, right? You can choose God or you can choose another God, but you're going to serve somebody. Somebody wrote a song like that. It might have been Bob Dylan wrote a song. You got to serve somebody. That's a good song, by the way. Really, it's a great song. Whether the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorite. Now, you're saying there's a plural. There's gods, but there's only one true God in whose land you dwell. But then he says this. He sums it up by saying this. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Say it with me this morning. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not a bunch of plurality of gods. Oh, anything's good. Anything will get you through. No, we're going to serve the one true God. Say it with me this morning, the one true God. Now, this next character that we're going to look at is Elijah. We talked about Joshua. Now we're going to talk about Elijah. Elijah was one of the greatest Old Testament prophets, and his name means the Lord is my God. If you've ever named your child Elijah, Elijah means the Lord is my God. Names have great importance. Elijah stood up at one point in his life, stood up to a wicked King Ahab, who had changed the state religion in Israel from serving the one true God to serving Baal. Baal was an idol, but he set up the whole state of Israel. It became the state religion to serve Baal and to worship an idol named Baal. And by the way, if you do a study of Baal, you'll find that Baal was one of he was the king of the gods, if you will. He was the king of the gods in small g, all right? So he was the big god, in other words, the king of the gods was Baal. So that was a big undertaking right there. And this wicked King Ahab said, we're going to serve Baal instead of serving Jehovah or Yahweh God. We're going to serve Baal instead. And by the way, Baal is also known as the storm god. Thunder and lightning and all of that, he's known as a storm god as well. This should play into what's going to take place. So Elijah goes before King Ahab at one point. He says, because you've served Baal, I'm praying right now, and we're going to ask that the rain will stop for the next several years. And that next several years turned out to be 3.5 years that the rain stopped. There was drought. And that community really depended on agriculture like we do in here in California. And when the rain stops, how many know that when we had our drought, we wanted rain really bad? They went without any rain for 3.5 years. And after 3.5 years, Elijah stands before King Ahab again. And he says, it's going to stop for three. He says, we're going to have a showdown. After 3.5 years, he says, we're going to have a showdown now. God's already stopped the rain for 3.5 years, but now we're going to find out which God is true. It's going to be the one true God that we serve, or is it going to be your Baal? We're going to have a showdown. And I want to just pick up this story, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter 18. Will you take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Kings 18 and verse 17, all right? In verse 17. Will you find that in your Bible this morning, everyone? It's the only passage we'll kind of track together in our own Bibles, all right? Not all of these verses will come up, all right? Now, in verse 17, it says, when he, King Ahab, saw Elijah, Elijah stood before him, he said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Is that you, the one you just caused so much trouble? You just caused the rain to stop for 3.5 years. Ahab heard that he was coming, and Ahab said, is that you, O troubler of Israel? I wrote in my notes a little question mark here this morning. How much trouble have you or I caused the kingdom of darkness? In other words, could it be said of us that we troubled the devil and his demons? In other words, when you're coming down the street, do the demons tremble at all, or are they going to say it's going to be an easy day because this person's coming? No, I'd like them to be able to say of you and of me that every time we turn around, man, I'll tell you what, that person causes the kingdom of darkness a lot of trouble. How many of you would like to be that kind of a believer? Amen. And then Elijah answered back, and he says, this is verse 18 now. He says, I'm not the one that's troubling Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have, because you have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed after other Baals. In other words, you're serving an idol now. And he says, now summon all of the people from all over Israel to meet at Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal, that we can have a showdown at Mount Carmel. And he says, we're going to find out which God is the right God. Say it with me this morning, Mount Carmel, all right? Then in verse 21, Elijah sent for the people, and he said, how long will you falter, or how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him. So how many of you know that we serve a God that's got plenty of self-confidence? In other words, he said, if you want to serve another God, you can serve another God. But he says, you want to serve the one true God. In other words, follow the God that demonstrates power. Look at verse 22. Then Elijah said to them, I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. In other words, Elijah was saying, it's me against 450 prophets. I'm outnumbered 450-1. But remember this, you and God are a majority. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. It might be you against 450 false prophets, but you and God serve as a majority. Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Amen. So, Elijah, say with me, God and I are a majority against all of the powers of hell. Amen. Now he says, get two bowls for me, and look at verse 23. Let Baal's prophets choose the one themselves. They could choose it first, but don't light the fire on it. And then I'm going to prepare another bowl, but I'm not going to light the fire. And he says, no one's going to light any fires here. If any fire is going, it's either going to be Baal lighting the fire or God lighting the fire. Look at verse 24. Then you call in the name of your God, and I will call in the name of our Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. Say it with me this morning. The God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all of the people said, what you say is good. This sounds like a good matchup. Let's do it. So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, now you choose your bowl, cut it up. And he says, you call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So look at verse 26. He says, so they took the bowl given to them, and they prepared it on the altar, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. Say it with me, from morning until noon. They called on him from morning until noon, but nobody answered. Look at verse 27. And then at noon, after all morning they'd called on him, at noon Elijah began to taunt them. And he says, shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. How many know that Elijah was kind of messing with him now? He said, is Baal this great God that you're talking about? Maybe he's just sleeping, or maybe he's on vacation. So they shouted louder, and they slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until blood flowed. Now, you know what? I've just kind of passed by this verse in other times. But when you think of 450 prophets that cut themselves with swords and knives, you've got a bloodied mess, if you will. I'm talking about 450 because they're serving a false god, cutting themselves. Now they're all full of blood and everything, and yet their God still didn't answer. And then verse 29, it says, midday passed, and they continued dancing and prophesying until the time of evening. So say it with me this morning. Morning, noon, midday, night, no response came from Baal. How many know that Baal couldn't respond because he's a dead idol? Now, verse 30, it says this, then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me, and they came to him, and they repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Remember, in Israel, they had torn down the altars of the Lord, and then they put up an altar to Baal. But now they're repairing the altar of the Lord. I want to just say here, I wrote my notes here this morning, There's times in our lives where the altar of the Lord can be torn down in our own lives. And it's time to repair the altar of the Lord in our own lives. Quit serving other idols, other things that take us away from God. Sometimes our own altar to the Lord in our lives can be deteriorated. And God is saying this, I want you to repair the altar in your own life. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. How many receive that? Then verse 31 says this, Elijah, he took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Jacob. So they had the 12 stones of this altar that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And they named the altar, your name shall be Israel. But they built this altar to the Lord. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Say with me this morning, in the name of the Lord. And then he dug a trench around it. He digs a trench around it. And he says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some buckets of water, and I want you to pour it over the altar. And they did that. And then he says, I want you to do it again. Then they did that. And he says, I want you to do it again. Three times, he said, I want you to drench that sacrifice and drench that wood. How do you know wood's hard enough to light alone without being drenched with water? But he drenched it so much that it filled up the furrow that they dug around it, that trench that they dug around it, filled that up, and it was overflowing right now. How many of you this morning get the picture that we had a very wet altar right now? And at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and he prayed. Say with me, Elijah prayed. And he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I just ask today that you're going to answer and that your people will turn back to you. And then verse 38 says this, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and also licked up the water in the trench. Man, I'm telling you what, the fire of God came on the scene so much so that it just went just like that, and it just licked up the water in the trench. It just went just like that, and it just like that. I don't know how to say it any better than that, than, you know, trying to make it, but that's the best I can do. Man, the fire just came just like that, and it's gone. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and they cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Say with me this morning, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. How many of you know that they saw a God who answered by fire that day? Let me tell you what, there'll become times in your life where you're up against the wall when you need an answer from God. And I can tell you this, when God intervenes in your life, you'll have no words to say except, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Say it with me this morning, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. There's no other God that could have gotten us out of this mess. Then Elijah commanded them. He said, I want you to seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone escape. And they seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered them there. In other words, the 450 false prophets were no more after that point. God is a one true God who will answer by fire. Can I get a witness here this morning? Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise because he answers by fire. Now, here's what I want you to see this morning. Here's what I want you to get today, a big takeaway. Anything less than the one true God is no God at all, but rather a worthless idol. Anything less than the one true God is no God at all, but rather a worthless idol. In fact, the psalmist said this, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above what? Above all gods." Our God is to be feared above all other gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Say with me this morning, all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but what? The Lord made the heavens. How many know that we serve the one true God today? Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, what defines an idol? Well, what defines an idol is anything less than the one true God. Anything less than the one true God. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 115, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and your faithfulness." How many are glad that we can give God all of the glory today? Amen. In other words, when something good happens in our life, how many of you had something good happen in your life? Amen. How many of you say, "I've been blessed with a good house, I've been blessed with a good job, I've been blessed with good health," but we give all of the glory to God? Can I get a witness here this morning? How many are glad for God's unfailing love and his faithfulness in your life? Amen. Say with me, "God, I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your faithfulness." How many are glad for his faithfulness? Amen. And so the world will say this, "Well, where is their God?" In other words, where is your God? Well, the psalmist said, our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he wishes. He's in heaven, and he does whatever he wishes. In other words, God is a self-governing, sovereign God. God's a sovereign God. And he says, their idols, on the other hand, are merely things of silver and gold shaped by human hands. How many know that there's a difference between our God, who's alive, and a dead idol? He says, their idols are just made with human hands. Now, they have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths or nostrils, they cannot breathe. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. And they have and throats, but they can't even make a sound. And those who make idols are just like them, as are those who trust in them. In other words, the people that make idols are as dead as the idols that they're making them. And the ones who trust in them are as dead as the ones, you know, as the idols themselves when you trust in an idol. So what's the answer? The psalmist says this. Here's the answer. O Israel, trust the Lord, for he is your helper and your shield. Don't trust in idols, but trust in the Lord. Say with me this morning, O Israel. That's us, by the way, the people of God. Say, trust the Lord. Say with me this morning, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. How many glad that we don't have to trust in dead idols today, but we can trust in the living Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. He's our helper and our shield. Say with me this morning, I'm going to trust the Lord. He's my helper and my shield. And all of God's people said aloud, amen. Now give the Lord a great hand clap of praise in the house this morning for just a moment. Thank you, Lord God. Now, today I've just kind of outlined, and the structure in this message is this, is that we've just heard from people that have an eyewitness account of, I'm talking about, of the one true God. We heard from Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We heard from Peter, salvation's not found in anyone else. We heard from Paul, Jesus is, when you've seen Jesus, you've seen God. In other words, he's the visible of the invisible God, all right? We've heard from the Lord God himself, who said, don't have any gods before me. We heard from Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We heard from Elijah. He said, the God that answers by fire is the one true God. Then we heard from the psalmist, who said, all these other idols are just dead, but serve and trust the living God. All of these individuals we talked about this morning, they all testify that our God is the one true God. Say with me this morning, our God is the one true God. How many of you say our God is an awesome God too? Amen. Now, sadly, there are many that are still serving. They don't serve the one true God, but there's many people that serve other gods other than the one true God. And why is this? Because everyone in the world is looking for God, whether they know it or not. We've all been created for God. There's a gap inside of each one of us that only God can fill. And if those people don't find a true God, they'll suffice for a false God. That's why we need to share the love and the mercy of a true God. Can I get a witness? Amen. I presently serve on a World Missions Board for the Assemblies of God. And I've been on that board now for 3 years. I have 1 year to go. And we meet twice a year. This is the national board with the Assemblies of God. And every time that we open up our meetings, we pray for the unreached people groups in the around the world. There's about 250-some countries in the world, and so many of them have different false gods, and we want to share with them the light and life that we find in Jesus Christ. Amen? But around the world, last time that we met, we talked about different isms and different religions around the world, and I just share these just in alphabetical order. There's animism that you'll find in countries like Ethiopia and different parts of Africa where you'll find God in anything, in a person or a place or a thing or even in nature itself. You'll also find Buddhism, and Buddhism's found in places like Tibet, but all over the world you'll find Buddhism as well. And then there's Hinduism. Hinduism you find so much of in India. Last time I was in India about a year ago, you'll find Hindu temples, huge Hindu temples. And last time I went to a Hindu temple, honestly, many times it doesn't affect me. Like I've been to huge Buddhist temples like in Myanmar and places like that where these huge Buddhist temples, and it affects you just a little bit because it kind of creeps you out a little bit. But last time I was in India, man, it really creeped me out to a great extent. I mean, people would be crawling on their knees to bow down and worship a huge idol. And then in these large cities, they'll have a Hindu shrine within 3 to 4 blocks, walking distance in any city. You can find a small shrine on a corner, whatever, but a Hindu gods. And what they're worshiping, again, we read it in the Psalms again, is a dead idol that cannot hear, feel, or reach out to at all. They're not serving a living God, but they're serving a dead idol. Can I get a witness here this morning? Here, let me give you some an uptick, though. I had a brother from India come and say, in South India right now, you know, St. Thomas, the doubting disciple, went to India like 54 AD, and there's churches all over the South of India right now filled with people serving the one true God and Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? Amen. In fact, in the face of Hinduism, the gospel is still taking on great territory in places like India and places like China as well. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. Then there's Islam. Islam, of course, is a major world religion, second only to Christianity, and catching up fast, unfortunately. Islam is another people group that need to be reached with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Judaism is another one, but let me say this about Judaism. Let me qualify this because I'm very careful when I talk about the Jewish people. The Jewish people are God's chosen people. They serve the same God that we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want you to know that, but they haven't had their eyes open to the Messiah, that the Messiah has already come, the Messiah who is Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? Amen. So we pray for the Jewish people that their eyes will be open to the life that's in Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And then there's also nominalism, that means that you can kind of have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. In other words, whatever works for you, whatever God is good for you, you can serve that God. Of course, we've already spoke against that this morning. And then secularism. And if you look up the word secular, that word is an absence of God. In other words, going through life without God. An atheist would be a secularist. But if you look it up in a dictionary, secular just means to be kind of an absence of God. How do you know that there's a great absence of God in so many countries in the world today, including the United States? How many of you have neighbors right around you? And I do. How many of you have neighbors right around you that really don't serve God at all? In other words, they live a secular life. Last week, or about a week and a half ago, I was in Rome, Italy. And when we were in Rome, Italy, there were all kinds of great cathedrals, beautiful buildings, but one thing they had in common were they were empty. And you find that all through Europe. And when I walked through these great cathedrals, I asked myself, what was it like in the church age when people were filling these great, great cathedrals every Sunday? There was like the church was the centerpiece of every community, but that has gone away now and replaced by secularism. How do you know that God, the one true God, is greater than all of these isms? All of these false religions, all of them can be fulfilled by just one person. That's the person of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness here this morning? And I'll end on this verse right here this morning. The Lord is long-suffering towards us. How many glad that He is? He's not slack in keeping His promises, but He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me say here this morning, look me here this morning, everyone. All of us were on the outside looking in one day, but thank God we found the one true God. Can I get a witness? Amen. And I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you are glad this morning that God wasn't willing that you should perish at all, but he was long-suffering towards you? Amen. How many are glad that he still is long-suffering towards you? Amen. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So this morning, the big idea, the big takeaway is this. We don't serve a false God. We don't serve a dead idol. We serve the one true God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord God a great hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord God. Read the verse with me this morning. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Hallelujah. And all of God's people said amen.